drummer Isaac Red Holt, as he was called, Red was his nickname, and bassist L.D. Young, both formerly with the Ramsey Lewis's jazz trio, went on and formed a fantastic collaboration, the Young Holt Unlimited. And this was one of the songs that catapulted them, not songs, but tunes, one of the tunes that catapulted them to international fame. It's called Soulful Strut. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and if I sound a little funny, I'll just bear with it for a while because I can't open my mouth all the way. I had a pretty nasty fall, and I'm coming through from that. Well, President Trump sent yet another signal to the nation and to the world that he is a warmonger and intends to be for as long as he lives. He vetoed a measure that was passed by Congress to stop U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen. And he seems to think that this was an affront to him personally, that people wanted to stop the war. Although the votes were decidedly on the side of stopping the war, stopping U.S. involvement, I should say, in the war, President Trump vetoed the measure. And so we have, in fact, this is no longer theory now, we in fact have a person in the White House who absolutely believes that there's nothing like a good war to shore up your credentials as a president. Now, the war in Yemen, as you know, is a contrivance of the Sauds, and it suits the purposes because it keeps the Saudi interests going. People have tried in so many ways to stop the war. It's like the war in Vietnam. There was no real purpose for it. The US was not under direct threat or attack or anything, but the United States and corporate interests in the United States saw an advantage in acquiring the assets of a country and in acquiring the land and in dominating or establishing a beachhead in an arena where they thought, I should say, it was pivotal to US interests to have a base of operations. But mostly it was about money. Corporations and the money they made from the assets of a country. And the reasoning was, or had to have been, that all we have to do is drop a couple of bombs, kill off as many people as we need to, and get a hold of this country. It would be of strategic importance, but more so, it opens up new markets for the United States. You have all these raw materials, and it's principally rubber. When you have a nation that was a leading manufacturer of automobiles, well, and you have a country that was a leading supplier of rubber, to make tires for those automobiles, you have a marriage made in heaven. And such specious reasoning was enough to launch and carry out a war for years, causing the deaths of untold tens of thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people. So now we have in Yemen, Trump sees a similar opportunity. But let us not forget that we keep saying Trump, but we should keep in mind that the president, increasingly seen as unstable and incapable of cogent leadership. It means somebody, some group, some entity is calling the shots in the White House. And his job is to go along, to agree. Now, mind you, that's not to say he's totally incapacitated. He started off with the mantra of US military might. The United States should once again rule the world. Even if it has to bomb a country to smithereens. So here we have a scenario in which the US Congress, I seem to remember it was, this is a job given to Congress, not to the president alone. He does not have unilateral power and authority to do anything with regard to war without the consent of Congress. But without the consent of Congress yesterday, he vetoed this measure and instead unleashed a torrent of threats, military threats from the United States to Yemen and those supporting Yemen. I tell you, this is exceedingly crazy. And the country is so calm. People are so calm today. He made a decision. And, he's entitled to make a decision, he says. He's entitled to act unilaterally. No matter what people think. It so happens that it is the law here, though vaguely familiar with it, and in some cases totally unfamiliar with it, this president does not intend to recognize the law and obey the law. So by law, Congress considered the measure to end U.S. involvement in Yemen, and he decided, well, I don't like that. I am going to veto that measure, veto that decision, and I'm going to continue U.S. involvement in Yemen. Unilaterally. Do you see how insane this is? Do you see how crazy this is? How dangerous and provocative it is? How it disregards the law and disregards the power of Congress, which represents the people? Congress spoke. and voted on the measure that the U.S. should withdraw from Yemen and military involvement in Yemen. Yesterday, the president says, "I don't agree. I hear what you're saying, but I'm not listening too deeply because I am the power here. My opinion matters, not yours." And has the nerve, because this is the nature of his illness, it is so tied up with his sense of ego, his sense of self, his sense of power and authority, that irrespective of what the law says, he cannot abide any law superseding what he perceives to be his power and authority as president. And today, when this nation should be in the streets, because you see, it's not just that Trump has an over-exaggerated opinion of himself. That is not the issue. He is bound to obey the law. That's what people have been saying all along. You have to obey the law. You can't pick and choose. This is a constitutional matter, a de constitutional demand. You must obey the law. A vote is taken. The vote reflects the thinking of Congress, that is, the thinking of the people. And this vote said that they do not wish any more military involvement in this ridiculous, needless war. The president takes it upon himself and says, don't pay them any mind, because I am intending to continue this war. I have the power to do so, and I will do so. It is a flagrant abuse of power. Flagrant. This is as flagrant as a tantamount to a president appointing himself dictator. He is running the country by himself. Whatever he feels like doing, he'll do. And you, with your stupid constitutional laws, can go to hell. This is his attitude. And if there's any further proof needed that this president is completely out of control, I don't know what else is needed to prove the point. And of all people, of all, I shouldn't say all people, of all countries, to undergird with the lives of US troops and military equipment, the Saudi government. You break the law, you throw out the decision of Congress unilaterally. And all to support Saudi Arabia. There's something going on here. Not only the mental acuity or lack thereof of Donald Trump, But we have a realigning of forces that we used to think of as highly objectionable because of their human rights records, because of the way they treat their citizens, because of the glaring suspicions that they're up to no good. That we are partnering, we as a country are partnering with other countries with rotten human rights records and with Saudi Arabia still has not explained what happened to Jamal Khashoggi. And here is a president saying, this is exactly who I'm going to partner with. And I know there's great disagreement. I know that people may not like my decision, but in any event, I'm setting aside Congress's decision. It makes no sense to me. It will imperil plans that I have. So out the window goes a constitutionally protected decision by Congress. And a president who increasingly seen, who increasingly is seen as mentally unstable, proves it by doing this outrageous thing of vetoing the people's vote. Now, what are we to do? Today, we should have been hearing all kinds of plans by Congress to override the president's veto. We should have been seeing people in the street because technically, today, the United States is in a constitutional crisis. When Congress votes, and this was, by the way, a bipartisan vote, not that it should be, but it's worth noting. This wasn't just a vote by Democrats. This was a bipartisan vote. And the president just dismisses it as having no bearing at all, no power, no teeth at all. So as of today, we should understand as Americans that we have no power, not under this president. This president does not respect the Constitution. This president does not intend to respect the Constitution and is making decisions that are appalling, that in fact endanger the country. And I don't know what is it in Washington? Is it something they're breathing or eating or drinking? Is it something? Is it a drug that is being administered to deaden their brains and to thwart their courage to do their jobs? What is it? We have been through so many cycles of just plain dangerous and stupid decisions being made. And so it gives credence to the observations that we've been discussing by experts that there is something wrong with the mental acuity of this president. Further, as of yesterday, I think it is perfectly appropriate to ask, who is running this country? If Donald Trump, by expert opinion, is in trouble, there are certain things he simply cannot do. He cannot make sense of things the way a person who is stable can do that. He is detached from reality. He is easily swayed. So who is running the country? Is it the case now, and it's a legitimate question. Is it the case that a bunch of people make decisions and then they have Donald Trump articulate those decisions that they make as president of the United as president of the United States? Who is running this country? And what is next? The people's representatives have said X. We vote X in the interest of our country, in the interest of all Americans. This is our vote. And the vote turns out to be overwhelmingly to end military involvement in Yemen. That seems straightforward. And before the day is done, the president comes in and says, I'm not for that. I will be continuing U.S. military involvement in Yemen in support of Saudi Arabia and others with an interest in continuing the war in Yemen. And what are you saying? You're saying, this is my country, my personal property. I can do with it whatever I wish. And there's nothing to stand in my way. Nothing. And it's not like this kind of action is taken every day by a president. This is a very rare occurrence that any president would seek to veto such a vote by Congress. So we are in trouble. And why then does it appear, or is it being made to look like, we are just fine, thank you very much? That's nothing to be afraid of. But I would advance a theory that President Trump's capacity to make cogent decisions is so diminished that for some time now, a secret group of people, not necessarily the same people all the time, but groups depending on interest in the situation, come up with, quote, a policy position, unquote, and hand it to him and say, now go out there and tell the world this. You see how smart it is. It's a smart decision. Oh, yes. I quite agree. And there we do. We have a presidential order, a presidential decision. So now we have to do a couple of things. This, first and foremost, must be overridden. This action by the president just to comply with constitutional demands. Override it. Override it. But then you get to the crux of the matter, and it speaks to the lack of confidence in this president and his presidency. How do we deal with that? Can we wait 2 more years of this kind of reckless behavior and decision making before we conclude what we already know? I don't think Americans understand our position as of this moment, today, where we are with this president and his reckless conduct. And that's not the only thing that should be thrown into the pot for consideration as we speak. The president has pretty much ordered the military to get ready for war in Venezuela. And it is no idle threat. How do we know it's no idle threat? President Nicolas Maduro has asked for militias, 1 million people to volunteer to defend the country. And this is a direct result of the United States destabilizing Venezuela, attacking Venezuela economically by sanctions, and actively seeking to depose a duly elected president of a country simply because they don't like him. They don't like what he stands for. They don't like that he is a protege of the late Hugo Chavez. They don't like the fact that Venezuela is going through some economic hardships. No question about it. But this is precisely the time that the Trump administration will strike to further, because they consider half the work is done. The people are fed up of all these sacrifices and power outages and shortages of critical life-saving food and medicines. It is not hard to build on top of that resentment and get provoke an uprising from within, which is what the United States has been doing. Again, in flagrant violation of international law. Trump just says, well, there ought to be a new president. The opposition leader, Juan Guaido, is somebody that we like, and we're going to do everything possible to install him. Now, Maduro, the elected president, has to defend the country, defend himself, protect the people against all these unjust actions. And do you hear any discussion in Congress about this? Is this bothering the people in Washington? And it is not a joke, as I said. Maduro is trying to recruit 1 million civilians to defend the country fully expecting an all-out assault by the United States on Venezuela. Similarly, we have Russia, China, and Cuba as superpowers who literally are on standby expecting something serious to happen and committing themselves to defending Venezuela against what every country in the world should see as unacceptable actions by the United States and illegal actions by the United States according to international law. And this is happening with a president that even presidential candidates are now talking openly and publicly about their concern about the instability, the mental instability of this president that endangers the security of the country. And today, it's just another day in the neighborhood. You don't get the sense that there's some kind of anxiety in America about what this president is doing and has done. You don't get a sense that Congress is flying all over the place to try and get a handle on this and to rein this president in. You don't get a sense that this bothers the power making heavyweights at all. Not the power making, but the policy making people at all. Life just goes on. And yet, we're seeing all the signs. We've been covering the story for a while, as you know, keeping check with the increase in tensions, the provocations by the United States specifically, aiding and abetting the downfall of a democratically elected government. And we have the pretense, we have the temerity to pretend, I should say, that there's nothing wrong here. It's all good, as they say. And we are so close. We are so close to something really bad happening. So we have two serious illustrations of a need to rein this president in. We have Yemen, we have Venezuela. And I'm only referring to these two because they are, or they appear to be, more immediate than others. But the consequences can be so dire of either of the two, let alone both. And this country is, I mean, people are oblivious, totally oblivious to this. So when I hear these presidential candidates talk, I'm not hearing them talk about this. When I hear all these progressives talk, I'm not hearing them talk about this. When they talk about policy decisions, I'm not hearing them talk about this. They're doing a sales job, telling people all the good things that would happen if they help them get into office. And we are at the brink of very major conflagration. So I ask you, what are we to do? On this day, right in the shadow of President Trump doing yet another brazen thing, breaking the law, breaking the constitutional protections that we, the citizens, presumably have to keep a president who might be off his rocker in some kind of check. We have no checks and balances. And again, based on the assessment of experts who are even questioning, can this man even read 2 pages of a document? Could he last that long? Can his attention span last that long? This is the man who is presumably calling the shots. And I say that I don't believe it. My theory is that for some time now, President Trump has been a shadow president, a puppet president. He is told what his decision is going to be. Sure, he's allowed, they'll give him some decisions that he could call his own. But on matters like this, where we're talking about World War III and we're talking about annihilation on a massive scale, and not necessarily of other countries, you know, these kinds of wars are two-way streets. Nobody wins. That somebody or some entity or particular groups of people or interests are running and have been running the country the way they want it. And Trump's role is to carry the ball. I'll take this break. There's so much more to talk about. But I'll take this break and come back to your thoughts right after this at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we're tackling a very serious issue here having to do with the conduct of the president. Most recently, in fact, just yesterday, he decided to veto a congressional measure taken to end U.S. involvement in the war in Yemen. And he says that he views it, and this is the thing, not he doesn't provide a rational explanation for it. His explanation is purely personal, and he deems it an affront to his authority as president, his personal authority as president. And he's not going to put up with an affront to his authority, his constitutional authority as president. And the other matter, in reaction to the president's actions and what his administration has indicated to the world community of nations, we have Venezuela now feverishly trying to put together a civilian defense force of 1 million people. Now, that is the severity of the problem. This is not a joke. They're not taking the threats from the United States lightly. And even within the constraints that they are dealing with of US imposed sanctions and other punitive actions against Venezuela, which the United States has made no secret that it wishes to have a change in leadership. And now, in the parlance of understatement, it intends very soon to undertake an intervention. That's what they're calling it in Venezuela. Your thoughts, Tony from Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Trees.
Hello.
You say that President Trump is violating the Constitution by vetoing the bill, but from what I understand, he has the right to do that, just as they have the right to override his veto. Now, they haven't suggested that they were going to do that yet, but also you said that it was a bipartisan vote in Congress. I believe that if they do not override this veto, many of those voted for it.
Hello, I can't hear you.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
I believe a lot of those were like fake votes, because they kind of knew that the president was going to veto the bill, because I believe we're going into a new Cold War era. I'm sure that you that's what your concern is, and your concern is valid, because we are
I don't
entering.
consider it a cold war at all. There's nothing cold about it.
Well,
This is about annihilation. Annihilation. War
inevitable.
for annihilation.
It's worse
There's
than the
nothing cold about
previous
it.
Cold War. It's going to be worse than the previous Cold War, and I'll tell you why. This time around, it's not just the United States and Russia. This time around, you have China, which has become a major superpower compared to when the previous Cold War was, and also now you have Islamic nations that have been divided between the Sunnis and the Shia, and you have Iran and Saudi Arabia going at each other. And the United States has chosen to ally itself with the Sunni nations, such as Saudi Arabia. That's why we're seeing this vote against Yemen. Because Yemen poses a threat, a Shia threat to Saudi Arabia, and they belong to the
I mean, you have a handle on it. I'm asking you to now evaluate the conduct of the president and the United States with all that you've just said and all that you clearly understand in terms of the dynamics of the situation.
Well, what the conduct that you see is a reaction, because the United States has had enjoyed superpower greatness for a long period of time, since the collapse of the Soviet Union, and now that that Russia is becoming a superpower again under Putin, they feel that it's a threat to them, and
Yeah, but
what you're seeing
I'm
is.
not talking about that. I'm asking. We have supposedly a president of the United States, and we are supposedly a nation of laws.
And
Why
that's why
is
I
it
said that
today?
he did.
Why
I
is
don't
it
see how he
today
broke the law by
that you
vetoing
are
the bill.
pretending that this president has not been violating the law?
But I don't see how he broke the law by vetoing the bill. He has the he can legally veto the bill.
Sure, except this is the first president to do it.
I understand that,
He
but this
has
is the first president.
set precedents with it, but with this
Yeah,
vote.
Dmitri. He's not a conventional politician. That's
Oh, for
why,
crying out loud. So this
Dmitri,
has
this
nothing to do
guy.
whether he's a conventional or he is not sane.
And I understand that's what how
Okay,
you
well then
feel. Now,
let's deal with that. It's not about whether he's a conventional president or there are lots of unconventional presidents that we could point to.
Dietrich, there's a
but
lot of people.
They know they have a duty to operate within the law. Since when is it a conventional thing that we should tolerate, we the citizens should tolerate a president saying, I don't like Nicolas Maduro of Venezuela. Let's get him out
and
by
that,
any
it's
means
not,
necessary.
It's not conventional. That's what I'm saying. This guy, there's a lot of people. Well, we know who are the people that his base, which are the Judeo, basically it's the Judeo-Christian conservative.
No. But I have to stop because you're complicating the issue. It has nothing to do with his base. It has nothing to do with the conventionality or unconventionality of the president. It has to do with a president who appears now to be a dictator, even as he denounces dictators. He is going to do what he wants, whether people like it or not.
I don't think he can be a dictator. I don't think this country is going to allow that. He can might want to be a dictator.
How do you explain that the country is nice and calm today, as if nothing ever happened yesterday?
Eutrice, in this country, they don't care. The Americans, this is a capital. They're blinded by the capitalism that exists in this country, Eutrice. Everybody, that's why Americans have short-term memory. You know, people go about their daily business. All they care about is making money.
But that's I'm saying to you, we're discussing this as people with some kind of political understanding.
Okay.
What is to be done when a president persistently flouts what most people in Congress, the lawmakers in Congress, have upheld as, you know, the way we do things? It's written down in the Constitution. Nobody's seeking to deny him any kind of rights that he has as president. But look at what he's doing. He is breaking the law left and right.
It's Congress' duty to pass a bill. If they expect the president not to veto it, it's their duty to pass a veto-proof bill.
How could you pass a veto-proof bill?
But with a supermajority.
Well, look, I think if you have a decent vote, it should indicate, especially on a matter this serious, it should indicate a level of agreement.
Well, then they will have to change that law, Eutrice, for it to be that way.
I'm saying that the situation exists now. We have seen enough evidence from this administration, and it doesn't care to follow the law, any law. It does what it wants to do. Here's another example of it doing what it wants to do, except that the potential consequences could be incalculable. And yet we give a president all this leeway to do whatever he wants.
It's because on this vote, it pertains to, I don't know what you want to call it. I haven't been able to wrap my head around what we call the situation that we're in. But you understand where I understand, where the superpowers that be are going to go at it, okay? And that's what we're seeing with these proxy wars in Venezuela and Yemen. And these politicians, even though they want to run as progressives, are actually capitalists running on progressive ideas.
It's easy to lay this at the feet of the politicians.
Well, they're the ones who are making the vote and the decisions.
The citizens of this country the people of this country who tout their political commitment, they allow the president to get away with whatever it is he wants to do.
And not just the president, but you have people that are running for president in 2020 that should be asked these particular questions.
Yes, but they're not there yet. And I'm saying that we have people who are already there, who have been there for years, for decades in some instances, and we're letting them all off the hook.
I agree with you.
This action by the president really is beyond the pale. And the fact that we as the people are not particularly bothered by it is equally terrifying. You have a knife at your neck, and you're acting like, no big deal.
Again, the reason why the people in this country are not terrified is because they are blinded by the capitalist system that we have, okay? And so that's what Americans are used to, and anything different than that, they are afraid of. Okay, that's what.
Well, you know what? I guess we're in for another round of learning the hard way, except that this round of learning is going to be very, very, very serious, very hard. To deal with.
I agree.
This is not a joke.
I agree. And it's the closest thing that I can describe it as is a cold war, but it's greater than that because, like you said, it's an active war that is happening. But that's what we're seeing. We're seeing that, and people are choosing sides. You saw it clearly when the government, Maduro's government, went to the UN. And you saw it right there. They laid the case, and they people are having to choose sides, and those are the sides that are going to go against each other, and it's pretty evenly divided.
Well, I'm telling you, we're about to learn a really bad lesson. I mean, we shouldn't want to even come close to learning a lesson and learning it this way, but that's where we're headed. Thanks, Tony, for getting us started today. Perry from Florida, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Hello.
Yes, Utrice, good afternoon to you and the listening group. You hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you.
Yes. This is my opinion, and I only my opinion there. I believe that Trump is, even though he's a so-called self-made millionaire, I believe that any president goes into the Oval Office is controlled by someone, no matter how independently rich they may be. I personally believe that Netanyahu and the Israelis government and the Rothschilds are controlling him and making him make these forcing him to make these bonehead decisions in Yemen.
Why would you say that? What is your proof?
Just seeing the way when Trump went to Israel and allowed the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem. When he allowed the Israelis to take back the Golan Heights, and I was under the impression the UN was responsible for making that decision, not one president from one country, And Netanyahu was very, very happy if you witness the actual event that he's getting exactly what he wants from
of
this
course.
Particular president.
Of course. Of course he's happy, he's getting exactly what he wants. But I'm asking you, your reasoning, it's making sense, but I like the idea of proof.
Yes. Well, my only proof is that from the years in the past is that the other presidents wasn't going to give Netanyahu what he wanted, and finally, Netanyahu finds a president that will acquiesce to his wishes And right there, to me, the proof is in the pudding, you know. The other, you know, government people will not admit that they acquiesce to the Israeli lobby in this country that is like the policeman for whatever you say against the Israeli government for their terrible treatment of the Palestinians.
But you're taking us off to another part of the the subject.
I'm sorry.
Our subject was.
But I just feel from what I've been watching, Utrice, is that, you know, it's pretty obvious that he's being controlled. He's a businessman that was used to having yes men around him all the time. And in government, yeah, I guess it was a little bit harder for him to get the amount of yes men that he needs. But in order for him to have them, he had to kiss the pinky ring of the Israelis, like every senator or anybody running for an office in this in this country has to go to Israel and say,
that
yeah.
That's a different subject. I like the idea of staying on point. We can get to that subject another time. The question is, the president unilaterally is going to override Congress. I mean, he has vetoed Congress's decision.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to Congress now to override if it wishes to do so. Mm-hmm. But in any event, the president's action is unprecedented. And we need to ask why. But we've run out of time, Perry. I'm sorry. Let's talk again soon. Thank you so much for calling in and contributing. And that brings us to the end of our program today. We'll meet up again tomorrow. Bye-bye.